You are listening to a sermon by Henry Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, July 16th, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgrmf.org.
And as I read Henry's sermon note, please be advised that where it says I, it's Henry's voice, not my own. The demise of the church. As I worked on the theme of the demise of the organized church, I wondered if I should pursue it. Some of it will be provocative and could be seen as heresy. Not being a theologian or a historian, I decided to proceed anyway because this topic is very current. So if there are errors in my thinking, you might well wish to correct me. That's okay. A question. How did Christianity survive for over 1700 years without Sunday school? Sunday school is an outdated concept. Initially, its aim was to provide a basic education to poor kids in the 1700s. Children from wealthier families were sent to boarding schools, which poor families, the majority, could not afford. Child labor was common in factories and coal mines, usually 6 days' work each week for many children. They got no education and a pittance in pay. Sunday school was started in England in 1751 by churches to teach these working children reading, writing, arithmetic, and catechism. The text they used was the Bible. Starting Sunday school faced challenges. There was pressure from churches not to teach writing on Sunday. That was work. And churches are good at resisting change. Also, by teaching the lower classes, they'd forget their station, their place in life. A third problem was that churches were not interested in funding Sunday school. But Sunday school became popular. It was a simple diversion for children. In effect, a childcare service. It was also helpful to many parents. They learned how to read and write from their children. Today, basic education is almost universal. So why do we have Sunday school? Sunday school also became a church growth recipe. Recruit the kids from a new neighborhood, and hopefully the parents would follow. It also provided some basic introduction to the biblical stories. Some years ago, a lawyer friend and I were having coffee. She was excited about a movie she had seen, Jesus of Montreal. I asked her at one point how she felt the movie dealt with the three temptations of Jesus. She looked puzzled. She said, "I don't know the Bible stories. The only one I know is about Job and his daughters." That surprised me. She explained, "I was a member of Job's daughters, and that's the only Bible story I know. Job had 14 sons and three daughters. The story of Job's daughters is found in Job 42. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers." That was revolutionary for that era. To leave an inheritance to your daughters as well as the sons was unheard of. Later, I learned that Job's Daughters is an organization for the 10 to 20 year old daughters of men who are members of a Masonic lodge. I'll give you that again. Later, I learned that Job's Daughters is an organization for the 10 to 20 year old daughters of men who are members of a Masonic lodge. My friend knew nothing about the rest of Scripture. I thought she could have benefited from attending Sunday school. Sunday school became a key evangelistic tool for churches. Is that an admission that we have few skills to communicate the gospel to other adults? While Sunday school has benefited a lot of people, there's also a downside. Madeline Langell writes, I have talked with such a surprising number of people who have had to spend most of their lives unlearning what some well-meaning person taught them in Sunday school that I'm glad I escaped. That's from her book, Walking on Water. Sunday school has been in decline for 50 years. The decline in church attendance has been around for almost the same time, accelerated by COVID. Many left the church and did not return. Like churches, Sunday school rooms sit empty much of the time. COVID seems to have convinced a lot of people that they could. COVID seems to have convinced a lot of people that they could get along quite well without Sunday school or church. Many stopped going to church entirely. When church gatherings became okay after COVID, many never returned. The United Church reports an attendance drop of near 20% from 2001 to 2021. Churches are dying. The Orthodox churches are the only major denomination that is showing growth in Canada. I came across a sermon by Toby Thiessen given at the TUMC, Toronto United Mennonite Church. Some of her thoughts are also mentioned by Stuart Murray in his book, The Naked Anabaptist. She mentioned a speaker who pointed out that the institutional form of worship has been built up around our tradition of corporate worship, maintaining it while the world around us changes. Energy goes into focusing on how to maintain church institutions and buildings when what we should be doing is following Jesus, who wasn't in a church. A lot of effort and resources go into maintaining church and Sunday school facilities. As publisher of Canadian Mennonite, Toby visited many Mennonite churches in Canada. In Saskatchewan, there are 27 Mennonite churches, two-thirds of which are rural, with fewer than 50 people on a Sunday morning. All are wondering how long they will survive. Many won't. Then Toby quoted the words from Isaiah 43 that we heard earlier. In verses 18 and 19, God's message to Israel was, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" That astounded me. I thought we were to remember our past and learn from it. I reached for my Bible to check the accuracy of those words. There they were, in black and white. The prophets had spoken. This message from God wasn't delivered to a church in decline. It was delivered to the people of Israel who kept moaning about their disobedience to God, which had led to their exile in Babylon. The prophet tells the people, "Stop dwelling on your past. And instead, look up to the new possibilities that God is offering. Open your eyes instead of focusing on how we used to do things." One person described looking for a full-service church like the one she grew up in. The Old Testament has numerous references to remember our past, to tell your children the stories of escaping Egypt. The passages from Isaiah and Jeremiah seem to be the opposite of what we've been taught. If those few words from the prophets were to apply to us, does it mean that we should forget the past? What about the good that has come from many churches over the years? Are the Israelites freed from the instruction to tell their children about their escape from Egypt? What about their children? What about our children? If there is no Sunday school, where will they learn the biblical stories? Are we to ignore all those contributions? Maybe the seeming contradiction of these verses means we should recall the past, but not be locked into it. It might mean changing along with the times. It might mean stop trying to recreate the past. The good news is that the prophet tells us we're to keep our eyes open for that new thing that God has in store for us. That requires risk-taking and innovation and waiting. I have no idea what the new thing Isaiah talks about would look like. I'm more comfortable doing what we're familiar with. I don't like quick, drastic change. Not too much change, just a bit of tinkering here and there is fine. Major change rarely comes from church headquarters, Rome, cathedrals, or conference offices, but from smaller experimental churches. May God give us the courage and wisdom to acknowledge the good of the past, not to get stuck in it, and to think outside the box. The words of the prophet: do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? Thank you.